going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
How you do it.
I was the guy who made the deals at the deadline for PJ Washington.
Correct.
And Gafford last year when nobody wanted him.
That's what you do. That, whatever that response was.
I mean, that sounds like a guy who's halfway fired.
He's dead man walking.
Yeah. I don't whistle when I walk by the graveyard.
That was the graveyard. No, that was exactly what it was. Real quick, one more time.
I mean, he has nothing, no self-worth, no confidence, nothing.
The response, and I want you to fade it out quickly, Carter, because I'll play it, and then you can fade it down. Just the couple seconds, he has to think
about it. It's a great question, by the way, before you continue. Whoever asked the question on the front end, it was worded perfectly.
Well, and the guy was, you can hear and see the smile, then laughing. He's like laughing as he's asking the question. This whole thing, one more time.
He was visualizing that.
Yes.
You know, when Luka comes back to town, the Lakers game's happening, and you're standing there, and there's thousands of people chanting for you to be fired. That's an experience that none of us, you know, no one's chanting for our, you know, for us to lose our jobs. Why shouldn't you be fired?
Right out the gate.
How are you not prepared for that type of a question?
He looked shell shocked. He looked like
Joe. That's unbecoming.
I honestly, there's parts of me where, real quick, that I do feel bad for the guy.
Yeah,
because clearly he thought that was the right move. Like in his heart of hearts, he felt that was the right move for the organization. And no one should be receiving death threats. No one should, like, that is that going way over the line. And that sucks that he's been having to deal with that. And I think it's just honestly been a culmination of all of it.
Yes.
Like, what are the Mavericks ownership? Like, you got to put that guy, like, I for lack of a better term, put him out of his misery, my dude. Fire him. Let him just move on. Like, you're not helping him out at this point if you're the Dallas Mavericks ownership. I know Mark Cuban would have already, real quick, Mark Cuban, if he did have full ownership of it, he would not have let this happen at all. But you need to rip the Band-Aid off. He is never going to be a likable face in that market again.
No.
Again. Ever.
No.
Ever.
And the owner said something to the effect of, I'm paraphrasing, that Nico didn't explain to me how much the fans really resonated with Luka. And so, you know, we didn't understand how this would land on our fans.
Well, Nico, he didn't realize how much the fans, we don't even have that clip, but in another clip, he underestimated just how beloved Luka Doncic was in his own party. How could you underestimate that?
I know.
The guy's a phenom. How many times was he first team All-NBA? He's a perennial MVP candidate. He took the team to the finals last year. Yeah, you don't think he's a little loved in Dallas, which has been a market that has been doing absolute nothing since the Dallas Mavericks' last championship? They love their Cowboys. Their Cowboys always give them heartbreak. Luka Doncic has at least brought that franchise to the NBA Finals. There's, and he's, what, 24, 25? Like, how could you underestimate the value there? Which I'm saying in this, all this to say, and we're talking about all this because Mike Dunleavy, not to this extent, but Mike Dunleavy around the trade deadline prior to the Jimmy Butler acquisition, there was a lot of people calling in and a lot of people saying, you know what, Mike? I think if he doesn't do anything at this trade deadline, he should be fired.
Well, think about,
there's a lot of hatred towards that guy, Mike Dunleavy. And just think about the total turnaround with his Q rating since the Jimmy Butler acquisition. That's what I think about immediately.
There's no doubt. Is Luka more beloved in Dallas than Klay was in Golden State?
No. I don't think so, but there's different levels to that, and how it ended with Klay was different than how it ended with Luka.
Yeah, but had
it wasn't on Luka's terms. It was on Klay's terms.
I know, that's where I'm going with this. Last year at the deadline, let's say they did trade Klay at the deadline. I don't think that would have been received well. I think part of, like, the fact that he walked the way that he did, you know, where it felt like he was in a little more control, and it felt more amicable, as I go in air quotes.
Sure.
I think that eased the transition, as well as the season that he had and all that. But I think if you're the one that does the trade, like Bob Meyer still to this day, the Jordan Poole whole situation, like to be able to, Mike Dunleavy, the Jordan Poole thing has stuck to him, right? Yep. Good or bad. Some people think it was the right move. Some people think it was a horrible move. Like all these decisions matter. Think about, had they traded Klay Thompson at the deadline, I'm not saying the fervor would have been close to this, but I just think that that transaction happening in the offseason and Klay being kind of in control of where he went really eased the burden.
I think so, too. And his level of play and everything baked into it, and the guy having two catastrophic injuries. And also, they got a title with him towards the end there. So I think that helped ease some of it.
It was a decade it plus was, or correct. Whatever.
I think the fact that Luka was still so young, in his prime, arguably top five player in the NBA, like, that's tough to swallow for a guy in trading for Anthony Davis, who is a champion. He's 31, 32 years old, the guy's hurt all the time. Like, a tough sell. And real quick, we got the sound. Nico Harrison, GM, not realizing what Luka meant to the Dallas
market. This is unreal.
Didn't know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level. But really, the way we looked at it is, you know, if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Klay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively, we feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level, and that would have quieted some of the outrage. And so, unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, so it just continued to go on and on.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live in the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. That was the general manager of the Dallas Mavericks, Nico Harrison, not realizing just how beloved Luka Doncic was by Dallas Mavericks fans. And on a day where, potentially, George Kittle, and I bring up George Kittle because he may or may not be attending OTAs. It sounds like he's not going to. He wants a new contract. He's coming off an all-pro season. Him, Brock Bowers, 1A, 1B, whichever one, best tight end in football last year. He wants to get paid. He's a little older. What do you think would be the fan reaction, Joe, if, let's say, George Kittle in a couple days here prior to the NFL draft or on draft night got traded?
I think we would be devastated.
Would it be to the equal amount of that?
I don't know if it would be equal to that, because football is very different in terms of, like, you know, when a player's done, they're done. And this organization said goodbye to Joe Montana and Ronnie Lott and Jerry Rice and, like, Frank Gore, like all your favorite players, 9 out of 10 of them went somewhere else. So it's different. It's different in this sport. Plus basketball, when the way the fandom is, you uniquely identify to that player and that team. Like they're almost synonymous.
And I want to be careful real quick, and it's a good point. I'm not saying the Niners are trading.
No,
George
you're asking
Kittle,
what it would be like.
But I'm also saying it's a possibility, potentially, if he was to hold out, and this is draft week, and his stock right now is at an all-time high. He's just coming off one of his best seasons. The guy was an incredible leader last year. Now, all of that baked into the equation. He was an incredible leader on what was a bad season, and I think when that happens for a fan base, at least for me, when guys show up, when bleep hits the fan, that ingratiates that player more to me as a fan. It's like, I respect you more in what Fred Warner did last year because it was a bad year and everything was wrong.
I just think when you run a business, and that's what these teams are, they're a business, You have to understand your consumer base. So, for example, if I were to take over Lululemon right now, I know that Lululemon is not for the construction worker who's rocking Carhartts and Ben Davis. Like, at least not every day. He might wear that at home, not every day. Like, I'm marketing to a specific consumer base. When I take over the 49ers, part of the heart and soul of that team is George Kittle. And if I make that trade, I better understand how that's going to land. And I better win. I better win to be able to overcome it, and I better win a certain way, right? When I take over the Golden State Warriors, I can't just trade away Steph Curry, even if I think that's like the greatest move. Like, I have to have the emotional intelligence to understand how the consumer base is going to react to that trade. Do you get what I'm going with this?
We were a couple months ago. Steiny even brought up the notion of trading Steph, and it was laughed off. Although there were a couple callers that said, "Yeah, you know, maybe you think about it," which sounds insane, but. What you're getting back in return for a player like that right now.
You have to understand how the consumer feels.
Correct.
At some level, you need to meet the consumer on their level. And you can win, but you better win championships to be able to do whatever you want. Right?
I don't even know if the Dallas Mavericks had gone on a deep run to like the Western Conference Finals again. But I still don't think they would love
it. So think about the Giants.
I don't think anything he did after that point. He could have ingratiated himself to the community.
Did Farhan's way of assembling a team connect with the consumer base of the Giants?
No.
Now, did we fill AT&T Park for the Dodgers series?
Of course.
Yeah, we did. But then when the season was over, we're like, well, that'll never happen again.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that's how most people felt. Like, you have to acknowledge and have the emotional intelligence to know what your region likes.
Right.
You know, I remember when Mike Nolan took over the Niners. He was like, we're going to be Baltimore West. It's like, dog, you took over the Niners.
Yeah.
We're about quarterbacks and throwing the ball. And yeah, we want to have a great defense. There's no doubt about it. But if your quarterback's only throwing 10 times a game, like, that's not the way we want. I'm still hearing about Jimmy Garoppolo throwing only 7 times or whatever it was in an NFC Championship game, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to win a certain way in a particular region, and you have to have the... Again, I go back to emotional intelligence to understand what that fan base desires. If I took over the Yankees, I know I better have some boppers in that lineup.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I know what I'm taking over.
Name recognition as well.
Exactly.
It's very important. Same with the big markets, the Lakers. You have to have the names and big brands and big iconic brands like an Aaron Judge, Giancarlo, Paul Goldschmidt even at this stage.
Exactly.
That's the guy you need in that lineup.
So as I'm like weaving all these different sports back together, let me get back to Dunleavy here. All of the moves that Dunleavy made, each individual one could have been criticized up and down. But when you step back and you realize the magnitude of some of the moves that people wanted him to make, like, I think he actually handled everything as well as he could have.
I want to get into this. Let's dive deeper into this on the other side. Mike Dunleavy, and I want to do a little compare and contrast with what John Lynch is going through right now, as it is draft week and OTAs start, voluntary OTAs start today. For the San Francisco 49ers, George Kittle not expected to show up. Fred Warner, we shall see. Both those players wanting extensions. And obviously, Brock Purdy is going to be the one, the big name everyone's going to be watching as well. That's what's coming up the game, brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport.
Okay.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Easter for me was like Easter. There were so many people at Easter at church that were dapping. You know, like what after you get, the sacraments, if you will, you're coming down the aisle, and we always sit on the far end because I got to take him in and out, you know, because he's, and people were just coming by, and I was just fist pumping, high fiving. Dude, I it was unbelievable. The amount of people that show up for Easter Sunday, that place was packed.
You're like Bonte when you're walking around Chase Center, but it's Shasky at church, just doing the finger guns, doing that. What's up, bro?
Yeah. Well, and then Father came down the aisle, and then he gave me some big love, and so everyone was like, oh, you know Father very well. I was like, yeah, I've done some fundraisers with him.
There you go.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. We have Anthony Slater joining us at 8:30 today. Again, talking Warriors Rockets game 2 mañana, which is Spanish for tomorrow, and we'll have all that coverage right here on 95.7 The Game.
So, you know, like, I remember when Bob Myers was leaving the Warriors, and it was like, there were so many things up in the air. Draymond was going to be, this is 2023, okay? You had lost to the Lakers the way that you did. Mm. And Jordan Poole felt unplayable. So what are you going to do with him? His contract was kicking in. And Draymond Green was going to be a free agent. What do you do with him?
Klay looked bad. Yeah.
Klay looked awful. He was entering into the final year of his of his deal.
What do you do with him, right?
What do you do with him?
Lame duck year for him.
We all acknowledged whatever GM took over was kind of inheriting a no-win situation. Mm. An aging team that felt like they had no chance of getting back to where they wanted to go, right? They felt unathletic, old, expensive, kind of stuck in the rut. They didn't have high draft picks. You had just traded away Wiseman at the deadline, remember, to get GP2 back. So it was just not good. And I look at like what happened yesterday with Nico Harrison for Dallas and him just not being aware of how much Luka resonated with that particular region.
And if you're just joining us, Nico Harrison yesterday at the season-ending presser for the Dallas Mavericks, reiterating what Joe Shasky just alluded to.
I didn't know that Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't quite know it to what level. But really, the way we looked at it is, you know, if you're putting a team on the floor that's Kyrie, Klay, PJ, Anthony Davis, and Lively, we feel that's a championship caliber team, and we would have been winning at a high level, and that would have quieted some of the outrage. And so, unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, so it just continued to go on and on.
It's not a video game. I'm talking about sports, life. And I think when I see a lot of these analytic people that talk about sports, very like, oh, well, the seventh inning is exactly the same way as the ninth inning. You know, the first quarter in an NBA game is exactly like it is in the final minute of overtime in the playoffs. Like, no, you're wrong. These are humans, and there's a human element, and there's also a consumer base,
right?
And so when you take over one of these teams, you're trying to win, but you also have to tap into the heart of your fan. And I think that when the Warrior job came open and Dunleavy ended up getting the job, I think part of why it was a brilliant move in retrospect, because I had my own
skepticism. Mm-hmm. I will freely admit.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact he was with the organization, I think it really helped him be emotionally intelligent on each one of these decisions. So he takes over in July of 2023, essentially. They draft Pajemski. That's their only draft pick that they have. All right? It's kind of like everyone, like, you're getting a guard?
Yeah.
You're getting a guard?
Right.
Like, what? A point guard who's kind of like a shooter, and we're not really sure, and he's at Santa Clara?
And no one knew who he was? He was at Santa Clara?
Yeah. It's, like, so odd. And then basically within days, they flip Jordan Poole to the Washington Wizards and a first-round pick for Chris Paul, and that blew my mind. I was pissed at that move.
You were. You were
I was pissed at that move.
That was an all-time Warriors, like villain.
Yes.
You just got in a fan favorite. The Poole party, like, we love Jordan Poole. He's a fan favorite for a villain? You don't do that.
No. But if you step back, if you knew you were bringing Draymond back, it felt like you couldn't bring Jordan Poole back. Right? So, again, there's an emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. These two guys can't be on the same team together. Now, does that have to do with the consumer or the locker room or both? I would argue both.
Yeah.
I think there was a huge segment of the Warrior fan base that did not want to allow Jordan Poole back onto this team.
That whole thing will end up going to seniority, right? Draymond's a made guy. You've won four titles. He's the defensive anchor of this team. He's the heart and soul of this team, Joe. You can't do it.
Four-time champion. And then, you never win anything without him.
And then it went into victim blaming, and I hated all that, and I don't want to go jumping into the head. It's like, oh, what did he say? It didn't matter what he said, quite frankly. And I do look back at that whole situation, and I do think when we look back years from now, that's probably going to be one of the black eyes, if you will, on a Bob Myers resume that is filled with a lot of good, a lot of greatness with that, but that's probably going to be looked down upon, and rightfully so, when you look back on all the accolades mm-hmm. and everything that went down. It's like, yeah, maybe I should have handled that better, but you know what? I didn't at the time. And Mike Dunleavy, his first move was to, you know, rip off the Band-Aid. It's not working. He's got to go. We're keeping Draymond. It is what it is.
And the other part of this that we, you know, I think we have to acknowledge as we're talking about Mike Dunleavy and the job that he's done and everything, especially in contrast to just some of the other GMs around that sport and just the NFL as a whole, I think we underrate how influential the owners can be. Not every owner has their thumb on the scale, but if you talk to enough people that have done the job for a long time, if an owner wants something done, it is done. Yeah. So, regarding the Nico situation, if the owner wanted Luka out, Luka's out. It doesn't matter. But when you sign up to be a GM and you get paid, you know, pretty handsomely to do that job, that's kind of the hazardous risk that is associated with that job.
Well, that's why I was shocked when the trade happened initially, because I did think it came from ownership or something happened between ownership and Luka, and that's what happened. I was like, there's no way Nico Harrison's just going to trade him for that, really? I know he's not in the greatest of shape. I know they took the beer from him after they winning the Western Conference Finals. Wasn't a great look. I was like, all right, maybe there's something there. But I was like, no, that had to be an ownership thing. And then I go to find out that the owner didn't really even care, and he signed off on it, and it was Nico Harrison and Rob Pelinka, the Lakers, who go back, and they're friends, and they're tight as agents.
Bizarre.
It was all bizarre, and it was like the secret meetings. It was like, wait, what? I had to quadruple check that this was real, and yes, it was real, and it looked bad then, it looks bad now, and God bless Nico Harrison, the way he speaks to the media. I just don't think he can't help this. The way he speaks is so soft-spoken.
Yeah, it's not.
And he needs to be speaking with conviction right now.
Oh, right now.
Right now, he needs to be spoken with conviction. And I look at a guy like Bob Myers, who was perfect in these scenarios, whether it was 100%. A political word salad. But you know what? You came away from that saying, God, yeah, Bob's just a great guy, very personable, right? I don't come away from hearing anything from Nico Harrison that says he is personable or is in touch with the fan base at all. John Lynch, I'll say this, very personable, very in touch and in tune with the fan base. Is he going to be making all the right moves? And there is a little difference, I want to say, when it comes to him, because him and Shanahan are kind of this, you know, symbiotic relationship when it comes to player personnel. You know, Shanahan having
and
the final say.
And I don't believe that York is that influential on the roster.
Not anymore.
No.
If he was with Balky, I don't even know if he was then. But for sure, not now. By the way, shout out Leeds. The owners are Jed York, Leeds United.
Yeah, I don't
English
care
Premier
about
League.
Their soccer team.
They got promoted from the championship to the Premier League. So
that means they're not going
to
spend a lot of money on soccer. I'm out on that. I want them to spend money on the football team. I could care less about their soccer
team. Well, they are spending money on a football team, potentially. It's going to just...
No.
Football.
Yeah, okay. So getting back to the Warrior transactions here, like, I don't...
I don't know if the mandate came from Joe Lacob to bring him back Draymond Green, but they were bringing back Draymond Green. Well, and maybe it came from Steph. Maybe it came from all of them. Maybe they all were in unison.
Remember Joe Lacob in studio with you and Bonte just kind of just sweeping under the rug there. He's like, yeah, you know, Draymond came to my house during negotiations. Just, yeah, he came over.
Which made it feel like Joe Lacob was the one who put his thumb on the scale and got it done. Now, look, I didn't like the Draymond Green extension. I'm wrong. It's been a great extension. He's been really good.
There you go.
No, like he asked. Like there's just no other way around it. Like he had a great year this year. I thought he was pretty good last year. He was great this year.
Shocked you talking to me.
No, he was. They're not where they're at without Draymond.
He is a legitimate defensive player of the year candidate. That is the case for Draymond Green.
So this is what Dunleavy inherited. He didn't trade away Klay Thompson. Now, was that the right move? Was it not the right move? It felt like in part you had to stick with them because of the fan base, because of the trio and what you owed them and because of the locker room and all that stuff. But the other part of it is, like, it did kind of harpoon the season. Now, I don't think the season was going to be a championship one no matter what, because I don't think Chris Paul was good enough. I don't think Steph was good enough last year. I don't think any of the youngsters contributed enough to what they needed. But I'll listen to the, hey, you should have traded Klay Thompson. But my counter would be like, would you have been prepared for the blowback on that? Right. Trading him away actively would have been a blowback.
And his only other trade prior to that was, again, the Jordan Poole trading him for Chris Paul scenario.
Right.
That's another fan favorite, another homegrown guy
exactly.
Got rid of. Klay, obviously, the Q rating with him way higher when it comes to the fan base. Four-time champion, one of the greatest three-point shooters. He's a splash. He's a nickname. If you have a nickname, if you have a nickname, it is very difficult to remove you.
Yep.
It just is. Splash brother, right? So, yeah, that was a big part of it. And I'll say this when it comes to Dunleavy. I do love his even-keel approach. When it comes to just speaking to the media, when it comes to just
Gets it.
He does get it. He's very calculated in what he says. Now, is he as personal as Bob Myers? I don't think any GM, honestly.
No, he's unique.
He's very unique.
But
Dunleavy
does feel like he's himself.
Yes.
I don't feel like he's fake.
And he's not afraid to swing big. We've learned that now with the Jimmy Butler trade. He is not afraid to swing for the fences. He's all about that.
I'd like to get into that because I'm looking at it right now, and I'm looking at what happened the very next year. So the Chris Paul thing, like, are you going to keep his money? Are you going to trade his money? What are you going to do? I think they tried. I think they tried a variety of different things, and it didn't work out. Now I lost my mind. Like, I'm talking about as a fan. You traded away Jordan Poole. You gave up a first-round pick in that. You acquired Chris Paul. He didn't help you. You lost in the play-in. And now you let that money expire and you couldn't add anything. So you basically gave away Jordan Poole and a first round pick for nothing, for the money to just evaporate.
Right.
Yeah. I was pissed at Mike Dunleavy.
And it felt like a waste, right?
Yes.
And then all the hooting and hollering from the fan base. You got to make a big trade.
Exactly.
You got to maximize the Stephen Curry window, right? God, you just got blown out against the Kings. Klay went 0-for. It was a bad look all around. Listen, we were talking about it yesterday after the show. Like, think about a year ago this time. Where this fan base,
Tell the fans what we did yesterday.
We were doing a whole exercise about this time last year.
What show we did?
We were talking about suffering with Steph. That was literally, I did the show notes. I was a producer back then. It was 15 or 30 minutes of suffering with Steph.
And would Steph accept losing, or would he want out? And would you consider the unthinkable?
Yeah, right. That's what we were talking about. Hell, we were talking about that like 4 or 5 months ago still. That was how insane everything was then. And how down bad we were as a fan base. But that's what we were talking about. We were talking about the Niners coming off a Super Bowl loss. All these players that want to get paid, right? All the drama. So there was so much different. And it's funny, you fast forward now, and it's kind of like the Niners are in the boat the Warriors were in last year.
Yes.
And now the Warriors are in the boat, kind of like where the Niners, the expectations are now maybe championship for them, which is insane how quickly things can change.
Well, that's why I want to go. Yeah. Like, so after that year, you lose in the play-in. Klay's a free agent. Chris Paul, boom, the salary just gone.
Yep.
Well, Klay was going to leave you, all right? And for whatever reason, it worked out where you got a three-way trade, and you got yourself some pieces that could actually help you for the future and for now,
was
right?
It a three-team? Felt like a five-team trade, whatever it was, but continue.
I mean, you basically got Buddy Hield, and look, as crazy as it's been with Buddy Hield, he has helped you a little this year.
Sure. Yes. No, he has. No, but okay. 12-3 start, which was important.
I know.
He was massive those first couple weeks. I will say that, yeah.
Okay, all right. You did get Kyle Anderson in that deal. He was part of the Jimmy deal. Now, that wasn't the only thing, but that was part of it. You obviously waived Chris Paul, so you lost him for nothing. You got some swaps in terms of picks. But more than anything, you did kind of reset your books. And look, I laughed at that, and I thought that was a dumbass notion. Excuse my language.
Reset the books.
No, but I thought it was stupid. I thought, like, I don't care about your money or whatever. But then, like, if you signed somebody, you wouldn't have had the money to be able to extend Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Right? And so you used some of the pieces that you got in the Clay trade. All right? You drafted Quinton Post. You got some financial flexibility for the future. And then you signed Melton. Well, Melton ends up getting hurt, even though he was good for the six games. You swung a midseason deal for Dennis Schroeder. Now, it didn't work out, but Schroeder ended up being part of the Jimmy Butler deal.
Schroeder looked really good last night, by the way. 20 points for him in 29 minutes. Pistons win and even up that series one games apiece in the Eastern Conference.
You also got Lindy Waters. Remember, you acquired Lindy Waters, who was part of the Jimmy Butler deal. Like, you're laughing, but like these are all the moves. Like, in a vacuum, each one of these moves is like, I'm laughing at them. But when we like put this thing together, you don't get Jimmy without all of these other little ancillary moves.
No, you don't. And again, Jimmy Butler is a Golden State Warrior, and you're up 1-0 in the series. You're looking to put a chokehold on it tomorrow in Houston, potentially going up 2-0. And Jimmy being a big part of that with Stephen Curry, I think they're the best tandem in the playoffs right now, which is insane. But again, I'm getting playoff Jimmy. It's different than what we saw in the regular season.
Yeah.
It just is. And Mike Dunleavy having the cojones to pull the trigger on that move. How has your viewpoints changed on him, Dub Nation? Like, how are you now viewing Mike Dunleavy after these last few months, the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, Brandon Pajemski, TJD, all of the
Quinton
moves.
Quinton Post,
I haven't even brought up. Like, Gisantos, all of it.
Don't forget signing Pat Spencer.
Hey,
you guys could laugh, but Pat Spencer has been not. He's fine off the bench.
I like Pat Spencer. I would love to see Pat Spencer tomorrow, potentially, in a Warriors blowout win.
And
how about that?
They also extended Moses Moody to what looks like today a really good extension for dirt cheap.
888-957-9570. Call or text the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line, excuse me. Again, how has your viewpoints and stance on Mike Dunleavy shifted these last few months? Has it at all? It has to, right? Like I look at where John Lynch is right now when it comes to Bay Area general managers. He's probably the highest, right? He's rightfully so. The way he's... right? What do you mean,
No.
He's gone to two Super Bowls.
No. I think his body of work is the most comprehensive. It's inarguable. But how do I feel about John Lynch right now? I'm like up in the air on the Niners right now. Just maybe it's more the general consensus around the team because they haven't played a game in a long time. We're coming off of a lost season. Like, I'm really up in the I love John as a guy. Like, I do. But, like, dude, I don't know about the draft with them. We'll see. Like, they got a lot to prove.
Has Dunleavy jumped ahead of John Lynch in the Bay Area GM power rankings?
This Jimmy trade? I mean, they could have easily made the move for Lauri Markkanen or for Paul George, and that would have blown up in their face. There is an alternate universe. There is an alternate universe, and I love doing this game, where Dunleavy is fielding questions the way Nico is.
What is that?
Am I wrong?
On Disney Plus, the what-if scenarios in Marvel, right? We're going nerding out here.
Hypothetically. You know, no one's wishing this on anyone, but, you know, he can't control Kyrie getting hurt.
No.
Had something happened to Steph or Dre, we probably don't even make the playoffs.
Maybe not. Even with Jimmy Butler, you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but again, like that, that'd be brutal.
That's what I'm saying.
And you would have already had him locked in the books.
Like,
there are some
things that are out of your control.
Yeah.
Like, to a degree.
Yeah.
Right?
No,
but I also think the one thing that I underrated with Dunleavy, and I'm admitting it, like, I've been very harsh in terms of each individual transaction. I do think he's very aware of what this fan base desires in style of play and the roster and how it's constructed. Like, I don't think he makes these moves without considering those things. And I actually appreciate that.
888-957-9570. Has your stance on Mike Dunleavy changed at all these last few months, given where this team was and where they're at now? Has he jumped ahead of John Lynch in the Bay Area power rankings for GMs? That is an interesting question. 888-957-9570. But John Lynch, I will say this. He has an opportunity to do some crazy stuff this week. Him, Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers. This is the latest, by the way, per Schefter and Schrager, now part of ESPN.
Oh, yeah, Schrags.
The Browns and Giants are taking calls on the second and third overall picks in this year's NFL draft. Question I have for you, Joe, in the audience. Would you want the 49ers to A, move up to 2 or 3 in this draft, and B, would you include Kittle in said trade to get the number 2 or 3 overall pick? 888-957-9570. That's A and B. So, but first and foremost, let's start.
I want to make this very clear. I understand it's the NFL, and I understand where the Niners are at right now, and I also understand that players coming off career years at 31 years old, you know, it's probably unlikely that they'll replicate the season that they just had. You better be very calculated on any move that you move George Kittle in. You can't just trade him for a day two, day three pick. That doesn't fly with me.
What if it's a package that gets you the number 3 overall pick and, you know, you have to give up a second rounder attached to him?
Well, in that situation, I'm in, right? Okay. Like, it's got to be the right combination. Because if you just say on the surface, like, 49ers trade George Kittle for pick 100, I'm just going to just throw, yeah. even though, just throw that at you. I think they have pick 100 this year.
Yeah.
101. I'd be like, why even sign Brock Purdy then? What are we doing? Like, what are we just to trade everyone then?
Right.
Like George Kittle's one of the few guys that I know, like, is still a great football player on the team. I have no idea if McCaffrey can play football anymore. And I love him. But I don't know. Brandon Ayuk, is he even going to be healthy this year? Mm. No clue. Ricky Pearsall, I like the guy. But he's your number one passing target heading into the year?
George Kittle is going to be 32 this year, by the way. He's getting older, Joe. I'm just saying.
Sure, I saw Antonio Gates as an old man be a dominant player. I saw Tony Gonzalez as an older man be a dominant player at
different.
The position.
They're different, wouldn't you say, though, both those
Delonte
players?
Delonte Walker was better from age 29 to 35 than he was 22 to 27.
So you're saying that George Kittle is going to age gracefully. Travis Kelce, like Antonio Gates, like all those guys. Again, he is a Hall of Famer.
It's not just the player. It's what he signifies to me, but on this, which is a complete waving of the white flag.
All those guys didn't block, though, anymore. Like, George Kittle on this offense, they need him to block, and that wear and tear is a real thing. That concerns me going forward.
Joe.
I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here, but also there is a reality factor when it comes to George Kittle and aging tight ends that are blocking tight ends. I don't think he's going to age as gracefully as Travis Kelce and those guys.
There's two moments in my life.
I know.
Two moments in my life where the Niners lost the fan base. Two moments. One of them was obviously during the end of the Harbaugh era, moving out of the city, and the variety of things that happened during that time, which was extremely unique. Okay? You completely lost the fan base. You went from Harbaugh and Kaepernick and Patrick Willis and Frank Gore and all our favorite players, and then you pivoted to Tom Sula and Chip Kelly and no one that we liked. And you lost us. And you moved out of the city. There's a lot of stuff. The other time was when you moved off of Garcia, Hurst, and T.O. in one offseason.
Mm.
You got to give me somebody I like and I know can play. You can't move off all of them all at once. I'm a season ticket holder. What would be the point of me wanting to go to games if you're just going to have, like, and I like these guys, like Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall? Like, who are you scaring that you're telling me on the front end, yeah, we're not making the playoffs this year? Like, that's whether you do or don't make the playoffs, you're signaling to me that you're not trying to compete, because George Kittle is one of the, what, 5 best players in the division?
Yes, I would say that, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? You don't get rid of those guys. All right? And whoever you drafted and whatever cap relief that you had, I don't want to hear about it. You just paid $20 million to Hargrave to go away. Hargrave means nothing to me. Means nothing to me. What's the point of paying Brock Purdy $50 million if he's going to be throwing to Luke Farrell?
What?
Like, what?
Well,
what?
Real quick, what if I sold you on potentially, again, we're just having the discussion. We're not saying the 49ers are doing this. Adam Schefter, Peter Schrager, ESPN reporting that the Browns and Giants are taking calls on the number 2 and number 3 overall picks, respectively. And would you want the 49ers to move up in that draft? And could Kittle potentially be a part of that? Who is all reports saying, and actually I'm going to let Michael Silver, who talked about this via The Athletic, on the OTAs, because he's under the impression that George Kittle will not be showing up today because he is in trade talks with the 49ers, and he's playing a little bit of hardball. Here's Mike Silver talking about with Diana Russini of The Athletic on the 49ers. Which of the 49ers will report today to OTAs?
who's going to report on Tuesday. So you've got Brock Purdy, George Kittle, and Fred Warner, cornerstone veterans. Fred Warner, they're kind of waiting their turn behind Purdy and Kittle. Not a lot going on talk-wise, but Fred Warner has always come into OTAs in the past. I expect him to show up. George Kittle, there have been some back and forth. Not really anywhere close to alignment there. I think it's very likely that George Kittle will not show up. And then we have Brock Purdy. They all agree they want to keep him, they want to make him their guy, and they want to pay him what they believe is market value. How close are they in Purdy's view, and what is the point where he shows up? If Brock Purdy does show up Tuesday, I believe that means he thinks we are really, really close, so I'm just going to come in and we'll get this done pretty soon in my mind.
So if Brock Purdy shows up today, it's good news that they could be getting a deal done quickly and sooner rather than later. But the expectation is George Kittle will not be participating in voluntary OTAs today, Joe.
Kittle means more than just the production on the field to this team. And right now, you can't lose Debo and Kittle in the same offseason. Spiritually. I'm talking about spiritually. For the emotional connectivity of the fan base.
If you're talking about faces of Bay Area sports right now, how many players do you get to before you get to Kittle? Maybe, is it just Steph? Like, I'm serious.
Here. Like, active
like,
players.
Like, active, like, no, yes, yes. Active
players. I would say it's Steph and then Draymond Kittle, like, some okay. order, some order.
Okay.
Warner's pretty close, you know?
But I'll be honest, I see all the Zenny ads, I see him on all the commercials.
We love him.
His Q rating, again, I keep using that word, but again, in the Bay Area and nationally, It's up there. He's the WWE guy. He's all in the Little Caesars commercials. He's everywhere.
It would signify you're being cheap, whether that's real or not.
Wow.
That's what it would signify to me.
Wow.
You don't want to give him upfront cash. That's the way I would view it because of you bring up the soccer team. Like, why are you selling 10% of your team? The NFL is making money hand over fist. Do you not have the revenue?
Well, everyone's doing that. Have you noticed that, though? You've seen it with the Dolphins. You've seen it with the Raiders. You've seen a lot of with these teams, the Niners. They're doing that because they do want that extra influx of cash to be in there. And I get
because you're investing in other things that aren't NFL related.
Sure, but also they're diversifying. I don't know. I'm not a financial expert. I'm talking about
Raiders. Yeah, but as a Niner fan, I don't care about your soccer team.
Okay.
Right? I don't care about your soccer team at all. Okay. And so when you tell me, hey, Joe, they got into the Premier League, I'm like, oh, great. Are you going to spend money that you would have spent on? That's the way I view it as a fan. Money that you would have spent on your NFL team and you're going to spend it on some like fullback in soccer. Like, miss me with that. I don't care about that. Like, am I wrong?
Maybe a goalie.
I agree.
Yeah. You agree? Like, this is, I do not care about some team in Europe. I care about my Niners.
Okay.
Who have been knocking on the door of the Super Bowl, and now you're telling me, hey, guys, trust us. It's going to be a 2 or 3 year rebuild. All right, well, then knock my season tickets down a few. Make jerseys a little less expensive.
I'm just saying he is going to be 32 on October 9th this season, George Kittle. If you're banking on his game aging gracefully, that's fine if you want to break him off fat contract going forward because you're paying not only for him as a player a little bit, but also what he means to the team and the franchise, okay. But if he starts stinking it up and you see the production dip exponentially, are you going to change your tune a little bit on that a year from now? Like, I'm just saying.
I would rather overpay for a guy I love to be around who's a lifer than to pay Luke Farrell $22 million in guaranteed money.
I mean, well,
But you're asking me, like, we talk about these contracts, and we're like, you know, I mean, giving him $22 million at 32 years old. Well, yeah, he's arguably the franchise greatest tight end of all time. Okay. We're talking about a stellar group of guys that have played tight end over the 75, 85 years that the Niners have been a team. Like, yeah, like, it matters to keep this guy around. And I would much rather overpay for someone like George Kittle, homegrown, who's been through the trenches. You know, like, he means to this era whatever Joe Staley and Patrick Willis meant to the era prior.
I agree with you on that. What is concerning for me, though, is obviously the age. And he's been relatively healthy through most of his Niners tenure. He hasn't had any major injuries that I'm aware of, ligament-wise. But it's a cautionary tale what we saw with Brandon Ayuk last year and all of it. And I think what you're getting at here is Brandon Ayuk and his relationship with the fan base isn't nearly as what it was with George Kittle. So overpaying for him in a bloated wide receiver market last year and the way it went down, it bled into it. Now, We were talking about drama all offseason last year. And what we wanted this offseason, Joe, was zero drama. 0.0% is what we wanted of drama. Does this have the potential to start becoming dramatic if they are that far apart, according to reports?
Joe,
Pro Football Talk, the 49ers and George Kittle. And you were talking about Ayuk last year. It's like, maybe just trade him. Is it going to get to the point for you at all when you say just trade George Kittle and it's not worth it?
No. Like, for right now, I want to keep him on the team.
I know. Right? I know. But I'm just saying, this is how the drama starts, though, is why I'm saying this.
But if you this is where I stand. Like, I really like Purdy. I think Purdy's earned a huge contract extension. I think he's earned a big pay increase. Absolutely. Like, do I think he's a top 10 quarterback? No, I think he's just on the fringe of that. I think he's like 11 through 15, okay. Right? But I'll be 100% frank with this. If you trade away George Kittle, then why are we even going to pay $150 million for Brock Purdy? Like, what is the point? No, I'm dead serious. If the point is to save a few bucks, well, then just, okay. Trade Purdy away right now before he gets the extension and go get Mac Jones to be the quarterback if you want to, like, save some money and reset this thing and go completely young or whatever. Like, no, you keep the most coveted target for your number one quarterback. You don't trade that guy away. Well, even in the Tyreek, Patrick Mahomes, Kelsey equation, who do they keep? They kept the safety blanket. They kept Kelsey together, all right? Even though they got rid of Wes Welker, who did they keep in New England? They kept Gronk. Yeah. Okay, you keep the tight end. It's not the cost of what a wide receiver is. He can help you as a blocker, which obviously is, you know, I think he blocks too much, but he can help you. And the fans love him, and it's what he represents as a tone setter for the organization. And what message would that send that locker room if you don't pay that guy?
Well, I'll say this. You did pay everyone last year, and that was the message that you were sending to everyone. And what happened? It blew up in their face.
Yeah, but those guys held out and weren't.
They rewarded Christian McCaffrey. They rewarded him.
George Kittle has been a part of everything.
Yes,
and has been a gladiator for this team.
He's also turning 32 years old.
No, I understand that.
And if I have
that.
The opportunity to draft Tyler Warren potentially and I could trade George Kittle, I think about it.
Okay.
I'm not saying they're doing it. I think about it. Is the conversation I think John Lynch is having
say
right now?
Because
they don't want the headache of dealing with another holdout. They don't want the headache anymore. They might not want it.
Then why are we paying mediocre blocking tight ends?
Because I'm drafting Tyler Warren, who's potentially going to be the next best tight end since Brock Bowers last year. I don't know.
Look, dude, when you take your kid to the game, you want to be able to be like, hey, look, it's George Kittle. Look at him. Look at him in pregame. Like, there is an element of, like, okay. You've got to have some guys that we root for.
And why
can't lose Greenlaw and Debo all in the same offseason and then add Kittle to that. You just can't.
And why are we talking about this right now? Per Adam Schefter, Peter Schrager, ESPN, Browns and Giants taking calls the number 2 and 3 overall picks, respectively. And who would the Niners even take if they traded up that high? I know you're very high on Abdul Carter, potentially Travis Hunter. Joe, would that name do anything for you right now? If I were to tell you that maybe a trade package involving George Kittle netted you a Travis Hunter or an Abdul Carter, would that do anything for you?
I mean, it would ease the pain. You know, I just don't think Kittle, like, if you look at what these veteran players...
I know they're defensive players. I know it's
different. No, but I'm saying if you look at what a veteran is getting traded for right now, like, they're getting traded for late day two, like early day three picks. And so to me, it's much more imperative to just keep the guy.
Okay.
Like, he's a good player. Just keep the guy. Just pay him a little money. Just keep the guy.
Fair enough. 888-957-9570 is the number. You can call or text
I'm
the Boxer
so out on trading him.
Work Injury Attorneys text line. I don't think they will. Real quick, I would be mildly actually more just very surprised if they end up trading him. But anything could happen in draft week. That's what we're talking
about.
Niners have the number 11 overall pick. What will they do there? We will have all that reaction on Friday when it does happen, because Thursday, it's all going to be a reaction of what's happening tomorrow, which is Rockets Warriors. And that's what I really want to dive into coming
up. But here's the bigger element of why I like this whole, like, hey, we're going to trade George, and then you just trust us on the draft. Really? That's what you...
Did they have a good draft last year, though? Did they have a good draft last year?
And they had a solid draft.
What if they do that again? That's two solid drafts in a row.
Kittle is one of the best picks in franchise history.
Okay. So is Fred Warner.
Nick
Bosa.
Kittle is one of their best picks as a regime.
Yeah,
right?
I would agree.
Okay, so trading him for a, let's just say, third, fourth, fifth round pick and then saying, trust us on this one as they roll the dice. Like, no, I'm out on that.
But in that, analogy, you're they're the ones that made the pick. So don't they get credit for making the selection?
He was
and that they can do it again, potentially?
Okay, but just because you...
I'm not saying Hall of Famers grow on trees, but you got to give them a little faith because they did find George Kittle. They did find D'Amador Lenore.
Yeah, but they've had massive whiffs.
Brand IUK. Yeah, yes, they have, because every
their last
team,
big trade
every team has massive whiffs.
I know, but their last big trade-up was Trey Lance.
Fred Warner. Like, they made all these picks.
I
they
understand
found
that.
Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. If you want to give them credit for that,
are
or
they
not,
a good drafting organization?
I actually think they have been underrated as a drafting organization.
Right. I think
a lot
think
of very
first,
good players on
their
that
first
team
three or four rounds have been very suspect.
Okay.
Suspect at best. They basically have two guys in the first round that they've re-signed in the 8 years that they've been here. That's not a good track record.
That's in the first round, no. That is not good.
You but know?
One of those players was a DPOY. So you know what? That counts for at least a couple years of maybe potential whiffs there. I hear you. I hear you on that. I think they've done a real...
But if you just ask
look at the team top to bottom in that division, how many of those homegrown drafted players are you taking over on the Seahawks or the Rams or the Cardinals? You're taking almost all of them.
No, but let's step back from the Niners. If I'm the Rams, and I'm a Rams fan, and I sit here and I go, hey, the Niners just traded away George Kittle, and they paid Brock Purdy $52 million a year. They'd be like, ha, they're done. Like, I'm just telling you what the view is.
They can worry. The Rams, let them worry about themselves. They nearly lost to this 49ers team towards the end of the year last year.
No, but that's how Niner fans felt when they saw Dak Prescott get paid and Tua Tagovailoa get paid, and they started seeing good players on those teams not be afforded because you paid that quarterback. Again, trading, you want to get rid of Debo, it's probably the right time. I'm okay with it. I love Debo, but he was done here. It's probably the right time. I'm not ready to say goodbye to George Kittle yet. I'm just not.
We can
He's
get back,
too useful.
We can get back to this conversation a little bit later in the show. 888-957-9570. We got Anthony Slater, though, our Warriors insider, coming up at 8:30. Warriors insider for The Athletic and 95.7 The Game. Pick his brain on what he saw in Game 1 and preview a little bit of Game 2 tomorrow. And maybe we did a little overreacting yesterday. Maybe a slight overreaction Monday. Maybe some arrogance factor there. Joe, let's take a step back, dive deeper into that game, what we liked from the Warriors' perspective, what we didn't like, and what could potentially translate well into Game 2. Let's go player by player on the other side. We'll get into it prior to Anthony Slater. Break that down with him. We can get into the Niners a little bit later as well. But first, it is time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, as I fumble my injury. Oh, I have it here. There we go. The Giants are expecting to be without Casey Schmidt, Joe, for at least a month. The infielder was diagnosed with a grade 2 oblique strain in his back. That sounds very painful. The expectation is that he will be back sometime in mid-May. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We can talk more about this 49ers conversation, what they should do in the draft. What do you do with George Kittle, who is expected to start? I don't know if you call it a holdout today, but he's not showing up to OTAs, and he wants more money. Kind of sounds like a holdout. What's going to happen with Brock Purdy? Fred Warner also wants to get paid. Can we just have a drama-free offseason, people? Oh, and by the way, the NFL draft is this Thursday, and the Warriors play the Rockets in Game 2. Where else would you rather be to talk about all this than the Morning Roast, Beatty? Spadoni, Shasky, we're rolling. Halfway home on a Tuesday.